Been working on a series called Now What? We went into the brand new year, and we were kind of like the dog that caught the car, you know, now what? We talk about it, but what are we going to do now? Three words that came to me during the month of December when I started putting a skeleton outline of some ideas that I was really, really concerned about and I thought was the right word for the right time. And you've seen it in the promotions, and it is standing. It is stability and it's security. These are all things we need to know about. How do we stand? How do we stay stable? And how do we stay secure right now? And what happened was I had already written a basic concept of what I wanted to do, but I had not totally framed it. And if you'll remember, on that December the 31st day when we took turns together, and it was something that I said, then it was something that she said, and we were actually saying the same thing without any collusion, I wrote as I was sitting down there, I wrote this statement that we could use as our go word for this year and our go statement for this year. I think we get a little too cute in our little rhyming words, you know, and what we're going to do with the new year. Fine, those are fun if that helps you. But what is the real thing we need to know? And I came away as I came for the very first Sunday, and I made this statement. Look to Jesus, look to the Word. Look to Jesus, look to the Word. That's what we're doing. Say it with me. Look to Jesus, look to the Word. That's very, very important, this Word. It is this Word that gives us hope. It is this Word that helps us with those three words of standing, of stability, and security right now. I read this last week, and I just flew by it real fast. The English Standard Version of Romans 15:4 says it this way, because we're talking about looking to Jesus and looking to the Word. It said, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction." Stop right there. What's the old, it's a little saying we say, when in doubt, read the instructions. Linda is a manual reader. She loves manuals. She loves me. I mean, you give her a manual and she just gets all excited. Me, my eyes go out of focus. My whole thing is, what happens if I push this? And I have to troubleshoot some things like that. But she just loves these manuals. She's got a drawer and all the everything we've ever bought ever in 40 years, the manual is in there. I've never opened that one time, Maria too. I've never opened that one time. And she's over there and I see her and she's got this thing. I'm going, for the love of God. You know, and when you can't decide what I'm going to get her, I'm going to buy her. I tell her, I'll buy her manuals, you know, and she's just happy as she can be there. I just can't do it though. When in doubt, read the instructions. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance, boy, we could do a whole message on this one, and through the encouragement of the scriptures, what? Read that last line out loud. We might have hope. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? How do we stand? How do we remain stable? How do we remain secure? We do it through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures so that we might have hope. So what kind of word is that? I think that's a wise word. You know what to do. Ready? Let's make the affirmation together. Ready? Say it with me loud. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. Do it one more time. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. And everybody said, amen. In 1787, a man by the name of John Ripon wrote, what is it, one of the foundational hymns of the faith. The lyric of the first verse says it this way, "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said? To you who for refuge to Jesus has fled." Stop. Let me walk slowly through that real quick. 1787. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord. Are y'all saints? I think so. Is laid for your faith in his wise word, his excellent word. Now, this line here, over the years, this was the original lyric of it, which a lot of you maybe sang, if you sang in any traditional or even a high church type sound there. But I've heard it sung actually three different ways, and all of them work. It says, what more can he say than to you he hath said? What, and the tune is, what more can he say than to you he hath said? Got it? And I've heard it sung this way a few times. What more can we say than to you he's already done said? What more can we say? And you can even say, what more could I say than to me he hath said? You know what this says? His word is the start. His word is the finish. His word is the final word. It was the first word. It's the final word. And in other words, it's saying of all the pageantry, all the bells, the whistles, all religion and all things like that, or emotions even like that, what more can he say? What more can he do for you? What more can he say than to you he hath already said? That's the implication right there. To you who for refuge to Jesus has fled. Let me read some. You won't see the other verses here, but listen to this. Here's one verse. Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. Like that. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. If you had a hymn book, you could look for that today. How firm a foundation. And there's like five verses. I always loved the last verse because it spoke of these words of standing, being stable and being secure. Listen to this line. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, rest. I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I will never, no, never, no, never forsake. Wow. The foundation word. It is the foundation of my life. Some of you, especially the younger ones here in this room, need to know this. This word is not a fad. It's not a rabbit's foot. It's not a rabbit's foot. This is not, you heard the little, I've told you before, the little kid in kindergarten, and he's sitting there and he said, you know, I've had some real good luck with my prayers lately. It's not a rabbit's foot. And this is the assimilating of the word in us instead of something on the around us that affects the trimmings there. It goes down deep. Timothy Keller said it this way. Most people want Jesus as a consultant rather than a king. All right, now that's a pretty good word there. Most people want Jesus as a consultant, which means you, when you need him, you call him on your timeline rather than the king, rather than the Lord, the King of Kings. I'm looking back on the King of Kings, and in one old writing actually says the implication of the King of Kings says, the king that all other kings bow to. That's like way cool. Most people want him as a consultant rather than a king. Which brings me to Psalm 11, verse 1, where we said, David said, in the Lord I will put my trust. We jumped up and down on that. But yet, just two verses later, in verse 3, he's saying, but if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's the summation of verses 1 and 3. We went a little deep for the last few weeks. My subtitle today, though, is this. You ready for it? It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. We on our TV service, we found one of those channels that has a lot of the old TV shows that you grew up with in the 50s and the 60s. And we have these flashbacks, and we look at some of the, oh my God, the writing's weak, you know, and it's a whole different time. The stories are simplistic, but they are fun to watch of another time. We all watch there, and the story, the New York is where I'd rather stay. Help me, Oh, yeah, Green Acres, right there. Yeah, yeah. And you got, and they're moving into this thing. And every time there's something, the same guy says, "Yeah," and he maybe puts a different hat on, and he says, "Yeah, but it's going to cost you, Mr. Haney." Right? It's going to cost you. Yeah. None of you know David, King David, but y'all know Mr. Haney, right? Yeah, right. And it's so cute, and it's so predictable. Now you wait for it, and that's kind of cute like that. And but it's going to cost you. And who are you? Well, and he's the hat, and he's somebody else. That's the way people live their life. This walk is going to cost you. But what can the righteous do? Specifically, forget the righteous. Specifically, zero in on me. But what can I do? If the foundations are collapsing all around me, what can I do? Really, that's really the question, not we. It's what can I do? And the answer is I can build on the strong foundation. I told you last week, our God is the foundation of everything. You go, duh. But really listen to it. God built this earth on foundation. Remember, we read all those scriptures. If scientists would have read the scripture, they would have understand how this earth was built. Even the fact that our globe looks the way it does. Jesus, the word, the prophets gave us a heads up. They said, Jesus is coming. And they said it throughout all of scripture. So you need a foundation. And I put in parentheses how they're trying to sell an item to you. And you've heard the guy over a commercial say, accept no substitutes. And we get in a problem when we're trying to build our foundation and we accept the substitutes. God is a God of foundation. Now look back even in the Old Covenant, not creation, but even when he gave his leader something to do. When you read back in the rebuilding of the foundation of the temple, Ezra rebuilt a foundation of the temple. Solomon built the temple on a strong foundation. There's some scriptures there. I'm going to read them to you. We're just in fast drive-by form. In 1 Kings 5:17, the king commanded the large quarry of stones and costly stones, hewn stones, work to take them out of them to lay the foundation of the temple. 1 Kings 7, the foundation was of costly stones. Notice the best of material. No substitutes. Some 10 cubits and some even 8 cubits in size. 2 Chronicles 8. And then it says, now all the work of Solomon was well ordered from the day of the foundation of the house until it was finished. And so the house of the Lord was completed. Turn the page. Got three more for you. Many of the priests and the Levites and the head of the father's house, old men, had seen the first temple. They wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this temple had been laid before their eyes. And yet many shouted for joy. By the way, there should be joy as we're laying our foundation. There should be joy in your worship. There should be joy in your service. Yeah, we got some tough times, but there is joy. There was great joy. They worked hard to get those stones. It took years and years. Ezra chapter 6, the first year of King Cyrus, he issued a decree concerning the house of God of Jerusalem. And Cyrus said, let the house be rebuilt, the place where they offered the sacrifice, and let the foundations of it be firmly laid to a height of 60 cubits and wide 60 cubits. Again, God took people that were not God people to finance what he wanted to do. Zechariah said it this way, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple, and his hands will also finish it. Rejoice. Why do you think we hear stories in our scripture? My problem was editing this. I could have given you 20 of these, if not more. But just to bring it down, to show you there is a reason. Why do you... The word is there for a reason. If the foundation is important to God, and if it's important enough for him to tell us about it, do the math, y'all. Do the math. Do you think it's important for me? Forget what will the righteous do. The question is, what will I do? What will you do today? If it's important, it's the foundation. Now remember, when we were going through Psalm 11, verse 5, one of them, you know, how important is it? Psalm 11, verse 5, remember this one line said, the Lord examines both the righteous and the wicked. See, the Lord's paying attention to what our lives are built on. You see, and we should actually have the ability, it is my appreciation as I read this, to actually examine the foundation of the righteous in contrast with the foundation of the unrighteous. The scripture is full of that, talking about the house of the righteous man. In fact, you read these things, and if you when you're doing some study, if you turn it opposite, you can see where it flows there. There's genius when you read the word that way. We actually look at the foundation of righteous people and the unrighteous people. And even they go through things, but look at their foundation. How do they remain stable? How do they remain standing? How do they remain not afraid? It's their foundation. Proverbs 10, Solomon wrote this. He said, because when the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more. Why? But the righteous have an everlasting foundation. So we're able, as God examines the foundations of the righteous and the wicked, so can we. We can look at those things and learn by them, and we look at our own lives here. Be prepared. I think that's what all this message is, and that was part of our discussion driving over this morning. The messages are all about being prepared for the world in which we live in and what's going on. I apologized to you the other day that I wasn't friendly enough, you know, when we left the brand new year. And I brought you together, and I said, here you go. God bless you. God love you. It's going to get worse. See you. God bless you. And I sent you home, and I laid in bed that night thinking, you could have done a little bit better there. And I went back last week and reminded you what I believe in. My belief on who he is and the foundation has not wavered one bit. But I am just like Paul. I have no confidence in the flesh right now. And the be prepared thing, you know, when you're prepared, when something comes up, you're prepared. Linda likes to say, I was in the Girl Scouts. She'd pull out with something. What's that TV show? You bring your purse in and they ask for something. She'll have everything in there. I got to tell you what. I'm going to take you. Be prepared. How many of you were scouts? Cub Scouts or Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts? Anybody here? I was in for a little while and they threw me out like the first month. Huh? I couldn't follow the rules and I wasn't going to sleep outside with any of them. I'll tell you that right now. But you got to be prepared. And if your foundation is good, if your pipes were wrapped, you didn't worry. Does that make sense? Okay. You didn't worry like you would if they weren't. Your life is like that too. The things you are worried about, well, maybe God is bringing it up in front of you to wrap those things and take care of those things. Being prepared is a very, very, in fact, if you're prepared, there's rest there. Vince Lombardi said it this way. Preparedness is the ultimate confidence builder. You know, Linda, I was looking at you, when we were little kids. We saw Vince Lombardi. He was just this old guy, you know, and he's screaming. He could not coach in that style today with the athletes of today. But he was a forerunner, and he was brutal. Jerry Kramer in his famous book called Instant Replay, that was the foundational sports book that any of you guys have probably all read. And Jerry Kramer said Vince Lombardi treated us all equal, like dogs. You know, but preparedness, that was this thing, be prepared. And when it falls apart, you're prepared for anything that comes your way, just like the scouts are. To every believer, the foundation must be first, and we can't take substitutes, only the best material. So, because before we can handle the truth, we must dig, we must build, and I'm here to caution you today, it's going to cost you. It is going to cost. It will cost you. It is on the foundation that we must build on the rock of the Word of God in our lives. We see in the natural, why did the building fall? We saw hotels fall a few years ago. Faulty materials where you cut the corners and you did that. Foundations are wrong. It's not done right. It's not, the time has not been taken. Before we can handle the load, we've got to dig. But move to the natural. Why did that person fall apart? Their lie. They look like they had it all together. We heard a story that just this week of someone who lived in a pretty nice neighborhood and did everything, but things came apart in the life, and it came apart to the point in time that this person said, I can't live anymore, and ended his life. We read the tragic news, I believe it was in New Jersey, of an entire family that were losing their house, and the mom could not handle it. And the baby 9, the baby 6, she took them out. She took the husband out. She killed herself. That's when the foundation has given out and it's not on the word. And boy, that's just that should ache your core. that should ache your core and say, Lord, please, Jesus, Jesus, you know those cries at that moment, Lord Jesus. And it's all the foundation when things start shaking, and they will shake. How did that person collapse? How did that life collapse? Jesus stepped on this earth preaching first the importance of a proper foundation. One writer called him the architect of heaven, said it this way. I told you I would mention it this week, so here we are, ready? Luke's account in chapter 6. But whoever comes to me and hears my saying, and what's the next step? And does them. If you have a regular Bible in front of you, you ought to underline the word hears. I capitalized mine, plus I underlined it. Hears and does. I will show whom he is like. He is like one translation says, a wise man. The New King James doesn't use wise right there. He will be like a wise man building a house who dug deep. Remember that statement right there. And laid the foundations on the rock. And if the flood arose, wind. When's a time word? It's going to happen. When? When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it. So a root word of foundation is used here, for it was founded on the rock. But, showing the contrast, we can examine also and learn. But he who heard and did what? Nothing. Is like the foolish man who built a house on the earth or the sand, we sang as little kids, without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Lives are ruined like that. Lives are ruined that way. Not only do we need the firm foundation in our lives, in our walk with God, but of all the storms we even face, our life storms, the circumstances that are like storms in our lives that come up, even doctrinal storms. You hear people saying crazy, harebrained things. You're going to get more and more of that in the days to come. You need to be founded on a definitive word that is strong right there, that is all there. As believers, we must practice these principles of foundation I'm going to tell you how to do it. I'm not going to say do it. I'm going to tell you how to do it. It is a daily observance, and it is obedience to God and his word. It's a daily observance. It's not drive-by on Sunday. When you leave here and you come next Sunday morning, if your Bible is still in the back seat from today, you're not getting it. You're not getting it. You're not getting it. Get with it right now. It requires daily observance and daily obedience. Why? Because it's wise. So, be wise. Be wise. How? Obey. Matthew's account says it a little different. I pulled Matthew's account with one verse, 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Two other words. A building process takes two things. It takes attention and participation. Got to pay attention to what's going in, the work, and participation. Go back to Luke's account. You notice it, and I threw it out at you. Remember in Luke when I read the statement, he's like a man who builds a house and he dug deep. Remember that? That's a key for us. That's a key for us right now. We must be attentive and we must participate in the program. There's work involved there. But he dug deep. Let me give you this. Let me give you some genius. You ready? Before we go up, we must go deep. Before we go up, we must go deep. A lot of people are walking around and they're going up, but there's no deep down there. There's no deep down there. And that's usually the problem when you see somebody spinning out and saying there's no hope and I'm not going to live anymore. But the righteous build is done in a proper order. Proper materials are needed for the proper foundation. By the way, what does that mean? Well, you got to prepare a site. You got to clear a site. You've got to dig. You know, we live in a place right now that as we dig, we hit water, and we've got to pay money to drive pilings. But yet I have friends in other part of America, and they're spending thousands of dollars to take the rock and the dirt away. Where I was in some state not long ago, and how do you build it? Oh, we just build it. Right, we have a friend up in New York State, higher north, in these houses that come up in a few days. And some of the builders are Amish men, okay? And they're Amish men, and they come in like a tribe of them. And they just start, they frame it right there. Well, the ground is solid here. We've got to bring poles in and drive it in the ground and do all those things. Because what happens after a while, it will form around it. And then they lay the metal, the grid work. That has to be done. You might have to use piling, or you might have to pull something away. Then you got to frame your foundation of the parameters of what you have a vision of what you want to build. But you got to keep digging. Why? Because you need to make sure you can get power to it. You need to make sure you can get water to what you're building. You've got to get the concrete to hold it all together. There's many, many estimates about what it takes in a foundation. I remember many of you years and years ago when we built the original big building out on I-10. I think it was $2 million that you didn't see anything. And with the pilings and things like that, on an average house, when you build, you're going to spend between, 15, sometimes more percent. And guess what? You don't see any of it. You don't see any of it. You don't see any of it. You can't say, look at this beautiful hole we've dug here. Because all we're thinking about is that pretty house there. You see things even now in our community and around cities in America where conglomerates came in and they built houses very, very quick when there were great needs. And they cut a lot of corners on the foundation, on the materials that are in there. And about 5 or 10 years down the road, it looks good right now, take pictures in front of it, but things start falling apart and this is a problem in not only in the natural, but in people's lives right now. We like to play the role, but boy, it's hard to dig and it takes work. The word called him a foolish man. Fool says, you can't see it. Why spend on it? I've told you before, that's what young boys think all the time. Look, I'm just going to brush these top four right here. You don't see any of the others. But when you get to be our age, you're going to pay the price if you didn't brush the others. Somebody said, a fool does nothing in response to God's word. A fool pays no attention to a foundation. A fool will even call him Lord and disobey. A fool will build on the opinions of men and of carnal materials. So I said, how do I sum this up? I really feel this is a word, and I wrote this down. A fool thinks it can be done another way. Stop right there. A fool thinks it can be done another way. Proverbs 14 says there is a way that seems right to a man. That means a carnal man and his carnal thinking and his go-to because he's fleshly. But it's really not just foolish. It's actually rebellion because you can't bargain with God. And this is another guy's especially. You can't bargain with God. You can't, what he said, he's not going to change because it's 2024. You can't bargain with God. By the way, let me say something kind of delicate. And I just feel to say it. We all like a good deal. Okay? That's normal. We're all like that. We like a good deal. But beware of a mindset, if it's in your personality, a cutting corners mentality. Because if that's part of your personality and you know you're maybe weak right there, that could be something you need to be aware of when you're talking to God and doing what God wants you to do. What's the least I can do? And so think how close you can get. Think how far in you can get to him. It's not saying how far in the edge can I be with this and work this out. There's a way that seems right. You can't bargain with God. Which brings an expensive lesson, by the way. Ask Jonah. Ask Moses. Ask David. Ask the ones through the scripture that wanted to bargain with God. Never turns out right. You heard the house always wins? Let me tell you, there's something bigger. God always wins. Theodore Hesmer, for many, many years, was the president of Notre Dame. He was quite a learned man and a good, very good speaker, Theodore, for a lot of years. And he wrote four lines about making decisions. And I'm talking about now when we're deciding on our materials and our foundation and who we're going to serve in our life. Theodore Hesmer said it this way. I'm going to break it down in two parts. You don't make decisions because they're easy. You don't make decisions because they're cheap. Y'all buy something there and it's going to break. You know, even the name brands right now, it's a new thing going on. You know, there's a whole concept of what is called planned obsolescence. Did you ever heard about that? It's a concept of planned obsolescence. What are you talking about? How many of you had an old Maytag 35 years ago? That little sucker is just boom, 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 going right now. But if you bought a new one in the last 4 or 5 years, it's little pop things and plastic things that pop out. They plan it for it to run out, so you have to buy another one. It's called a planned obsolescence. They could build things and they would never give out. But they've got to keep customers. That's part of what you're seeing right now in the world today. Let me give you some more wisdom. I'm rolling with it today. More wisdom. Do you know that there is no money in well people? I'm just going to say that and leave it there. Don't make decisions just because it's cheap. Next, don't make decisions because they're popular. You make decisions because they're right. Theodore Hesmer of Notre Dame Seminary. Why? Because everything will be tested, everything will be shaken, and our lives are the furthest thing from being stable, secure. We're shaken apart. But here's my encouraging word. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost. It's going to cost you in so many ways. The writer of Hebrews reminded us, now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of these things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken will what? Remain. If you are solid on the foundation in your word and in your belief, in a daily observance, a consistent life, a consistent reading, a consistent in it, you're going to make mistakes, you're going to hit walls, but you're going to say, Lord, I just want you to do this in my life. It's going to cost. I wrote this in the margin. Now, class, there's going to be a test. How many of you hated to hear those words? Paul said it this way. I'm going to touch on him a little bit more next week. Paul said it this way, and I love this. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid. In other words, what more can he say than to you he hath said? Don't go looking for something else. People are always looking for something else. Looking for something else. Maybe it'll be easier. What more can he say than to you he hath said? It's in the book. It's in red. Did you ever hear about that prophecy that little lady gave in that church? Little church many, many years ago. She burst out from the crowd, and she goes, thus saith the Lord. She said, I can't understand why you can't understand my word, even though it's in red. I think God's in that. Why can't you understand? You think God sometimes wants to take your face and hold your cheeks with both hands and say, would you look at me when I'm talking to you? Do you think? What more can be said than to you he hath said? Wow. 1787. 1787. That is amazing how firm the foundation. So no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, already laid, which is Jesus Christ. now. Now, by the way, remember I talked to you about the proper, if I had time, you could do a whole message on the certain materials and how they respond to situations. And this just touches on it right now. Watch. It says, now if anyone builds on this foundation, what foundation? The foundation of what? Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone. Remember the temples when they were building? Or wood, hay, straw. Each one's work will become clear. How does it become clear? For the day will declare it. The day will declare it. You don't have to ask any questions. You will see it. It will be revealed by fire. I put in parentheses, oops. That's really like an oops. I put that in my notes. Not too many guys have sermons with oops written in their notes. He said, because if anyone's work, which he has built on, endures, paying the price, cost, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. He'll suffer loss. But I think it could be said in God's pity and his love, but he himself will be saved, yet as though through fire. We're building on the proper foundation. We sing the songs, we're so happy. But we need a proper vision for what we want to build. You see brand new buildings many times, and something is sketched, and they'll call it, this is the artist depiction. This is the artist depiction of what he hopes to build. I think that would be good for all of us to see ourselves standing right here. This is the artist depiction of building our foundation. We then need a proper blueprint. Somebody has to sit down and say, you got to do this, and to create that. First, before anything goes up, you got to go deep before you go up. We need proper preparation. Then in the process, the proper materials. And then you got to get proper workmanship. How many of you know? How many of you know right now? You get bad workers, you're going to know pretty soon. Don't call me if you want something built. Don't call me if you want something built. I've got a good heart. I might could write you a decent sentence. I might could help you in a couple other things. I might be able to sing a tune or two for you right now, but you don't want me building anything for you, especially if you have to live in it. I remember those late nights with both boys and putting things together. You haven't lived until you've put together a Hot Wheels garage. You haven't lived until you've stepped on a Lego late at night with no shoes. You haven't lived. But you know what I found out with the Hot Wheels and all the little things we made, or the Bat Caves and all those kind of things like that? You know what? I always had pieces left over. Huh? And you know what she just said? You know what she just said? She said, because you didn't read the manual, she said. Which brings me to the perfect close. You must do what? Read the manual. What must you do?
Read the manual.
How you like that? You must read the manual. Proper workmanship. By the way, if we're doing it under God, the scripture actually says the workman does not need to be ashamed even. Because he already understands what is truth, what is the word, and he knows how to rightly divide that. And then you got to put the effort. It's going to take you effort. It's going to take your constant attention, and you have to know. But it's going to be a great ride. But I can't stop without giving you the warning. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. Boy, I wish I had time. I talked to you how the scripture rejoices. And God rejoices when the people rejoiced when it was time to do what they had to do. Boy, it was hard. It was work. But boy, there's something when you walk into that finished product and the sound of praise is going through it. It's the way you are. Build something great. Build something great. And don't forget to do what? Read the manual. I want you to stand to your feet. This morning, Linda had been reading some books of prayers. She'd been reading books of prayers. Books of blessing, books of devotion. And she had read something earlier, and then she picked it up again. And she actually had started on the traditional blessing that we do from Numbers. And we read that, that's from the book of Numbers. And number 6, 24 through 26, I believe it is. I think that's a neat word because you read the front end of that. It actually, before it starts, it said, and God spoke to Moses and told him what to say. She reads a lot of times some of the Paul blessings there that to the new covenant people. But I said, oh, well, get your book ready. And I want her to come up. And in a minute, she's going to maybe read a few things about it. But in a minute, she's going to ask you to lift your hands. And I want you to receive the blessing. And I want you really this week, look at your foundation. Look at your foundation. If something happened, could you remain standing? When you get to the point of Job and what he went through, how many of you would rather just read Job and not experience Job? We're all that way. But however, as I said when I opened, we read these words. Listen. We put them into operation through endurance and through the scriptures so that we might have hope.